If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We continue our study tonight, the pursuit of holiness. And I want to pick up in chapter 14 in verse 12. Paul writes these words, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean of itself, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider to be good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men." Father, I come to you tonight and I thank you again for this opportunity to just continue to look into your word and to be encouraged and strengthened by your word and by your Holy Spirit as you speak to us. Lord, you've called us to be a holy people, set apart for good works so that no one can boast. Lord, we are set apart for you. And we are set apart, Lord, because your Holy Spirit now lives in us. And you lead us along the way, and you have called us, Lord, to a life of holiness. And Lord, we stumble and fall sometimes, but we confess and we get right with you. And because of that, Lord, you can use us. And you're looking to and fro all over this earth, seeking those whose hearts are stayed on you. Lord, I pray our hearts would be stayed on you so that, Lord, we can show the love of Christ through everything we say and everything we do. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, we've talked a lot about holiness. We've gone through lots and lots of scriptures. And I think one of the things that stands out in my mind more than anything is that holiness is literally obedience. Because if we'll obey God, then we can walk in a holy way. It's when we disobey God that we get into trouble. It's when we disobey God that we don't proclaim through our actions or through our deeds or through what we say or seem to portray. We don't portray holiness in our life. Tonight we're going to talk about the joy of holiness. Now, you might not put those two things together. You might think, well, to be holy, I've got to be really strict. I've got to follow these guidelines. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And the problem with that is, so do all the legalistic people. And they're probably the least joyful people I know. You see, God didn't call us to a life of woe is me and poor me and oh, everything's terrible. And he didn't call us to that. In fact, one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So if we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, we ought to have joy residing in us. And yet, so many people walk around looking like they've been sucking on a pickle, you know, and they just they struggle with this joy. Well, the joy doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. In fact, it comes from Jesus Christ Himself and what He did. In fact, we'll look at it in just a little bit, but I got to say it up front right now, and then we can repeat it again in a little bit. But for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. Now, you think about that. Think about what that means. That means there was joy in the heart of Christ as He faced the cross. Not because it was going to be a easy thing to do. It was going to be the most difficult thing that he could ever do. But the end result is what mattered. The end result is what matters in our lives. What do people see? What will people hear about God by watching us, by listening to us, by hearing what we have to say, by becoming friends with us, becoming neighbors with us? What are people going to experience? I pray they experience joy. Because really, that's what they're looking for. That's why they try everything there is to try. And they'll get an adrenaline rush from doing one thing, and they'll experience something from doing something else. But it's not a joy that will last. We have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, the Scripture tells us. So with that in mind, we're going to talk about holiness bringing the joy of the Lord. And see, here's the whole difference. There is a joy, just like there is a love, that appears for a minute and then it's gone. That we call it love. It's not really love. You know, you can be smitten by somebody and then 3 weeks later you can hate their guts, right? Especially when you're a teenager because your hormones are going everywhere. But you see somebody and you think, oh, that's the person for me. And then 3 weeks later you're going like, what would I ever doing with that, you know? This love that we talk about a lot of times is not real love. Love is unconditional, complete giving of oneself. Holiness brings us the joy of the Lord. Now look at what it says in Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I wonder if we just stop for just a moment and ask ourselves this question, how strong am I today? How strong am I? In and of myself, I'm not very strong. Pretty weak, actually. But when I'm walking in the Lord, I have His strength. And it comes from that joy that I have in walking with Him. Well, folks, if you don't experience joy in your walk with Him, then you're walking the wrong way. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He wants us to enjoy, to be filled with the joy of the Lord as we spend time with Him, as we read His Word, as we pray. It ought to bring on great joy to know the God of all the universe is listening to you, and He's right there with you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. The idea that holiness is associated with a sour disposition is a caricature of the worst sort. I like that statement. And yet, when you walk into most churches in America, you'll see people with sour faces everywhere. That shouldn't be. That just really shouldn't be. Because obviously, the joy of the Lord is not residing there. I tell you, folks, the countenance that we have shows what's on the inside anyway. It really does. We ought to be so full of joy that it comes out of us everywhere and we can't stop it. The joy of the Lord. Holiness brings the joy of the Lord. Look at what the words of our Savior had to say about this in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've told you this. Why? So that you know how to remain there? No. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. What does that mean? It means that as I follow what God has laid out for my life, as I follow what His Scripture tells me to do, as I walk in the path that I ought to be walking in instead of my own path, I remain right in the center, in the sweet spot of His love. And when you live in the sweet spot of God's love, He pours out His love through you to people all around you, and that's where the joy comes from. Because I can tell you this, I have had no happier times in my life than when I share the Lord with somebody and they realize that's who they need. There is no better time than that. Now, there's a lot of good times in life, and I cherish those. But there's no better time than seeing somebody realize they need Jesus. They need to know this one who loves us, and I just want to give His love away over and over again. I have told you this so that my joy may now be in you and that your joy may be made complete. Joy is linked to obedience and holiness. And by the way, that's what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Obedience and holiness. Same thing. You see, you can't be holy if you're not obeying God. You can't obey God if you're not living a holy life. They're connected. And joy is linked to those two things. As we continue to grow in Christ, as we continue to follow God's Word, as we continue to listen to the Spirit, as we continue to seek His face, the joy of the Lord will continue to grow and grow and grow in our lives. Now let me ask you a question. There was a young boy many, many, many years ago who his job was taking care of the sheep. The reason he got that job is because he was the youngest son. Nobody else wanted to be around the dirty sheep. Nobody else wanted to stand out there and watch them all day long just do what sheep do, be stupid. That's what sheep do. He didn't want to, you know, nobody wants to do that. But that was his job. So as he was out there, instead of sitting there thinking, you know, why did I get stuck with these stupid, dirty sheep? Why do I have to be out here? Why can't I be doing something else with my friends? Why can't I be doing one of the other jobs that my older brothers have? Why can't I do? Instead, you know what he was doing? He was so full of the joy of the Lord, he began writing music. He began writing words and singing songs to God and learning how to play a harp. And he just enjoyed being alone with God. How many of you enjoy being alone sometimes with God? I do. This world is so fast-paced and it's always hectic and there's always so much to do and your to-do list has a to-do list. And, you know, you just find yourself running here and there and trying to meet other people's expectations of you and trying to do all the things that they think you're supposed to be doing. But God says, just be still and know that I am God. Just be still. Why are we missing the joy in our life? I think one of the reasons is our fellowship with God sometimes is cut way too short. You see, part of the reason that God has told us to abide in Him is so that we can be with Him. You see, when you're in the presence of God, when you're there in that holy place, when you're listening to Him and you're in His presence, there is a joy that comes from just being there. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You'll fill me with your joy in your where? In your presence. With eternal pleasures at your right hand." Well, I tell you what, people are looking everywhere for something that'll make them happy. They're doing all kinds of things. They're jumping off, you know, cliffs, and they're jumping out of airplanes and flying, you know, hang gliding over to another airplane. They're getting in these body suits and jumping off a huge cliff and spreading their wings and trying to act like a bird. I mean, they're doing everything to try to find a thrill in life. But there's no greater thrill than being in the presence of God as He has eternal pleasures at His right hand that He wants to just continue to give you. A right relationship always brings forth communion and fellowship with God. Who else would you want to have a relationship with other than God? If that relationship's right, then other relationships will fall in line. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to you as well. Right? We've got to be seeking a right relationship with Him. And when we do, we will begin to commune with God and we will have fellowship with God. Now, what's the difference? Communion with God is having that right relationship, heart to heart, mind to mind. Fellowship means I'm in the place with Him and He with me. Somebody told me one time, fellowship means two fellows in one ship. They got to go the same way. Right? If you're going one way and the other guy's going the other way, you're just going to go around in circles. All right? Fellowship in the same mind, in the same heart, in the same attitude. The reference is there. A right relationship. There is joy in obedience. I am not resisting God, but instead I'm submitting to His will. You see, when you resist God, you will not be joyful. He's not going to let you if you're His child. Just like you as a parent, when your child, you tell them to do something and they choose not to do something, do you make them happy? Oh, I'm so glad you chose to disobey me. What a great kid. No. What do? You discipline them if you love them, right? You discipline them because you want them to understand that there are boundaries, there are parameters, there are things they need to learn, even though they think they already know everything, right? There's joy in obedience. I'm not going to resist God. I'm going to submit to His will. You see, when you submit your will to His will, then you get to experience the joy of the Lord. Let me just throw this in. Doesn't cost anything extra, okay? There is no person in all the universe that's more joyful than God Himself. And I don't think sometimes we think about it that way. I don't think sometimes we realize how full of joy God is. He found pleasure in creating everything. He found pleasure in creating us. He sings over us at night. God is full of joy. And He wants us to experience that joy. How can we do it? By obeying Him. Think of the joy that fills you when God helps you break a sinful habit or understand a deep truth of His Word that causes you to long for His hand in your life. I can tell you something, folks. I love every week having the opportunity to just sit down and prepare and go through God's Word and see what He might be saying to me and what He might be saying to this congregation. I enjoy that so much. But there's always a time every single week when He shows me something in His Word that I've never even seen before. He brings it to light by His Holy Spirit and I just go, wow, that's You, God. That's You. And there's such a joy in my life when that happens. John chapter 12, verse 32 says, Jesus says, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to Myself. Now let me ask you a question. Are you lifting up Jesus? Am I lifting up Jesus? What do you mean by that? Just talking about Him? Is it just knowing who He is and telling other people who He is? That's part of it, but I think the most important thing that we can have as believers in Jesus Christ is a joy that's so full that it lifts up Jesus and people see it and they want it. They don't want old fuddy-duddy people. They don't want what you have if what you have is bringing you joy.
Jesus said, if I'm lifted up and people see and know and understand who I am and realize that I am the joy of the Lord. When I'm lifted up, then people will be drawn to me. One of the reasons I believe that so many people are missing Jesus these days is because they're not witnessing the joy of the Lord in us. So many people who go to church live as though they're under some type of bondage. Oh, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. That's not what we ought to say. I don't want to do that. I'm a Christian. See the difference? Oh, no. You shouldn't be talking like that. Folks, people act lost because they're lost. We need to act saved because we're saved. Right? And just remember this. When Jesus was talking about the evil one in John chapter 10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have what? Just life? Abundant life. Life to overflowing. He says, listen, I came so that you can experience, even here on this earth, the joy of the Lord. And so if you will lift that up where people can see it, you know, there's a lot of clandestine Christians in this world. They're spies, but they don't want to be known. Well, they've made their own peace with God, but they don't want anybody else to know it. Folks, if people don't know that Jesus is living in you, guess what? Jesus isn't living in you. Amen, homie. That's right. Okay. The joy of our future reward. Here's Christ's example. Look at this. And this is what I mentioned earlier tonight. And again, with what we've been talking about in mind, let's read this together. Therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, are we? Absolutely. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. This is why we've got to be holy, folks. Because if we're not walking in a holy manner, we're going to get tripped up. And we're not going to be showing the people that are surrounding us this great cloud of witnesses. We're not going to be showing them anything except how to get tripped up. And let us run with perseverance this race that is marked out for us. Run with perseverance means I'm going to start and I'm not going to stop, no matter what. The other day I was flipping through some clips on YouTube. I like to do that every once in a while, of sporting events. And I came upon a sporting event I saw. I think I was probably a teenager when this came on. But this young man was running, I think it was the marathon, and as he came into the stadium, he was coming around the outside of the track, coming all the way around to try to come across the finish line, and all of a sudden, pop, and you could see he grabbed the back of his leg and he went down, and he couldn't get up. Yeah, I guess he had popped a hamstring or something, and he couldn't make it. And so out of the crowd, his dad, who was watching, jumped over the railing and ran out to his son and helped him up, and they crossed the finish line together. This young man and his father persevered. They weren't going to quit till they got to the finish line. I think there's so many of us who finally just go, what's the use? You know, I can't seem to do anything, or I give up. That's not what God's called us for. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we've got to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us And let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. In other words, God has already marked out a race for you. So how do we do that? We fix our eyes on Jesus. If you fix your eyes on the finish line, if you fix your eyes on the crowd, if you fix your eyes on anything else other than Jesus, the one who paid the ultimate price for you, then you're going to fail. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Who for the what? For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in the joy of the Lord. Folks, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. And I pray that's where you want to be. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the examples in Scripture that just continually show us that You want us, Lord, to live in Your presence, to walk in obedience, to experience the joy of the Lord, so that we therefore can be an example to the people around us. They are drawn to the joy of Jesus when they see it for real. Not as we put on faces, not as we act like we're something, but when they see real, genuine joy, they want that. And that comes from walking in obedience with You. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.